Arizona Saturday morning, our Outdoor Living Hour. We're joined by guest Richard Atkins of Gilbert Arborist. Main topic is just preparing for monsoon. And before we get to other things in our landscape that we've got to be aware of for monsoons, I kind of asked a question in real time. Where would you send somebody to look at great landscapes? If you've got a brand new property and you've got a clean slate to work with, or let's just say you're moving in a new one and you want to completely renovate your landscape, where would you send somebody just to go look at all the options?
Well, it kind of depends on the kind of landscape style you're looking for. Are you trying to go more of a native type of plant palette? Or if you're something more mesic with some water and you want lots of big shade trees. If you're looking for, you know, your native desert species, if you just want to get a feel for how plant combinations work together and what species are available, I go down to the South Mountain Preserve area. It's lots of nice trails there, easy to walk. You can make some good observations about what plant species are there. If you want to drive through some of the North Phoenix neighborhoods, some of the newer ones, most of those don't have much turf in them, and there's some really good, that in North Scottsdale, there's some really nice examples there of some native landscape. If you're looking for more of good shade trees and how that'll work with, you know, maybe a little bit of grass for play for the kids or the animals, central North Phoenix, you know, along the Murphy Bridle Trail, that's a really nice area in the neighborhoods back off of there. Lots of nice big shade trees, your ashes, your pistache, a lot of elms, even some old olives that have been maintained quite well, all provide good examples of landscape for you to view.
And there's a day and night landscape. You know, nightscaping is something that when it's done right, there's a lot of, you can really appreciate it. And there's times of the year, in the wintertime, I get home and it's dark.
Right.
But we still like to spend time outside. I don't like to get home straight from the office, straight to indoors. I like to enjoy a little bit of weather every day, no matter if it's winter or middle of the summer. And, you know, you still got to feed the animals every day.
Right. It's a nice uplighting My personal preference is for your native desert landscapes. I think the shapes of the ocotillo or the elephant tree or the saguaro or any of the cacti euphorbias, they really take on the shadows and lighting really nicely in the evening time. For your bigger shade trees, you just need a little bit better uplighting so you can see the structure of the tree and how the branches come out. It's very soothing. Like you said, you're sitting out on the patio in the back, you know, different times of year. You want to be able to enjoy the landscape just as much at night as you do during the day.
And we've got a series of text questions that we'll run through here in a moment. But before we do other things in the yard for the monsoon, lots of wind blowing around, of course, the hardest thing is taking down trees. We don't ever want to do that. But at some point, they do have a life cycle. And if it's going to damage the structure of your home, what do you look for in tree strength to determine if it's a risk to the house?
All right, the first thing, I'll go over to a client's house. I'll make sure that there's no branches or fronds, if you have a palm nearby, that are actually touching the structure. I mean, when the wind hits it, branches and palm fronds, they can actually tear the stucco off the side of the house. They can damage, you know, any of your fascia. They can pull off roof tiles or any shingles. You want to make sure that that's, you know, clear, so when the branches are blowing around that you don't have them hitting your structure. I like to look for broken branches, any dead branches up in a tree, because those will give way. They're not as strong, of course, as, you know, a regular live healthy branch. You want to look for some overextended branching, branches that are heavy or sitting out of the balance of the crown. It's common people think they need to prune the tree so the wind will blow through. And it's kind of a little bit of misinformation. Crowns, if they're intact, they have kind of a natural dampening effect. So the whole branch, all the branches and the leaves all work together. So the tree kind of moves around with the wind and it helps protect itself. Now, if you have heavy branches or something hanging out, you know, that can act as like a lever arm and really grab the wind. And that's how, you know, branches usually snap off. And that's a problem with overthinning. As the wind's going through, you have all these branches with no vegetation on them, these little pom-poms out on the end, and those really grab the wind, and that can put a lot of extra stress on the wood. So I always like to start pruning from the outside, get the heavy growth off the outside, leaving the inside a little bit more intact.
And when it comes to our root structures for a lot of our man-planted trees, you know, the root watering too shallow is, you know, one of the biggest
things. Absolutely.
You see that on any side street when a microburst goes through.
Right. And, so, and a lot in parking lots as well. You know, the roots have not been able to really establish themselves deep. You're on drip emitters. The timing's not always right. You know, I always rather run, instead of running 10 minutes a day for 7 days a week, run me 70 minutes one day a week type of thing. So the water goes down through the profile, helps the roots to sink down lower, you know, provide a more established root plate for the tree.
Our first text question comes from a 520 number, so Casa Grande or South. Well, at least it used to be with cell phones now.
Where they come from.
Could be anywhere. But there's a likely possibility this is a Southern Arizona question. Young apple tree in a backyard. They in a friend's backyard, they want to remove it. Well, this person wants that apple tree. So how and when would be the best time to transplant that tree?
Well, young apple, you know, define young, I would say probably within 3 to 5 years, perhaps. I would wait until in the fall, because apples, they will lose their leaf. That is the better time that you want to use for transplanting. And you want to try to get about 9 inches in diameter circle for about every inch of diameter of the tree. So when you put your spade in to dig around for your root ball, you want to make sure that you grab enough of that root plate with it. You'll cut a few of the younger roots, but basically you want to get that down, like I said, about 9 inches diameter for every inch of diameter of tree. And angle it back down so that you keep a nice big root ball there. You can use a burlap or a tarp or something to kind of lift it out with the shovel and set that in there, tie that around it so that you can carry it without disturbing the roots too much. Wintertime is the best.
And you said the fall. Some apple trees, especially if we get a light winter, won't lose all their leaves.
That's correct.
So if you're waiting for leaf drop, know that it may not happen.
Now,
on
there'll
the apple.
Still be a few left. You're correct, but you know, after you've harvested your fruit, and the tree is actually slowed down. Nothing really goes too dormant here, especially at the lower elevations. But yeah, when it's slowed down a little bit, you don't have a lot of heat stress that would affect the health of the tree. That's the better time.
And then this one. Listener joined the broadcast while we were talking about tree selections, and they want to know if there's a website that lists them all.
There's actually numerous. The ANA, the Arizona Nursery Association, you can contact them. They'll provide you a nice listing of all the nurseries as well as what they have, as well as the water users, the Maricopa County Water Users Association. They have a website where I can get you the address and you can put it on, where you can go and look at pictures and information about both deciduous trees as well as native trees that are available here in the valley.
And U of A Corporate Extension online
Absolutely.
Resource has a lot of options there. All the trees we talk about, we do create a special page on our site in the tree category in our DIY database, but most of that comes from all three of the sources we just
right.
mentioned.
And even the city of Phoenix, they have a website there, their urban forest webpage that has about 40 species with information and photos of each of those.
Now, with overwatering, hopefully, we're praying for lots of rain.
That'd be great.
Do we get enough to shut off our irrigation system?
I never like to shut off an irrigation system. But after a good rain, you just need to monitor it. You want to monitor your soil moisture, which you can do that with a probe or a screwdriver, just to, you know, go down about 4 to 6 inches and see what the soil moisture's like. If we get a good rain of, you know, 1.5 to 2 inches, that holds pretty well for a couple of days. But with our heat coming back on, that soil tends to dry out very, very quickly. So as far as turning it off, I would never advise, but maybe skipping a cycle, I think that's well worth consideration.
And is there, on mine, I have to go manually shut system off to skip a cycle. It's remembering to turn it back on.
Right. Now there's, and of course there's many different types of controllers. There's some that's easy that you can just put the skip cycle and it'll come back. A lot of them these days you can work from your phone. You could be out at the movies and it's raining. You could turn off your irrigation system that way and then just turn it back on later.
I'm going to have to upgrade mine soon. And I'm generally speaking, I'm not one that's a lot of techy or gizmo-y right. or gadget kind of guy. I like things that don't require that.
Right.
Because if you, I don't like to be dependent on it. But I will say for my irrigation system, something that I could control from my phone, I'm going to make that investment. The timer we have right now, it's an LED panel and it's, I'm trying to think, 19 years old.
Oh, okay.
So you can hardly see anything left on it. It's, you know, sitting on the side of the house getting baked every day. My truck's not even as old as the irrigation timer. And some of the channels don't even work, so I've got to flip it, the valve on manually inside the box. And
well, so you're back to the hand watering again. And, you know, depending on your plant palate, sometimes if it's established – one or two kind of hand waters during the summer might be all that your landscape actually needs, especially when the monsoon gets going. You know, that beginning of June and now in July, that little extra water really helps. Other than that, you know, some of your older trees like your ash trees, they probably do just fine with just living on what nature brings them.
So 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Got one final segment of our Outdoor Living Hour coming up.